Nina Conti did not start her career in theater with the goal of becoming a ventriloquist, but she's now one of the best-known comedians and actresses in that genre, bringing a subversive and fresh sensibility to that long-standing art form. Many know her through her long-standing sidekick, Monkey, who says all the things polite people can't. Conti also ropes in audience members to her shows and uses masks to transform them into characters she voices. Conti will be in Albuquerque this week for the Tricklock Revolutions International Theater Festival. You can find out more at KUNM.org and also see some videos of her work. How did you get interested in ventriloquism? It seems like something that's so old school. What interested you in it?
Yeah, it didn't kind of go that way that I developed an interest in ventriloquism. I had zero interest and I kind of got into it accidentally and started to enjoy it despite it being ventriloquism because I like this little monkey character I was talking to. But if I thought of it as ventriloquism, I'd have probably put myself off it. There was a director that I worked with who bought me a Teach Yourself Ventriloquism kit, which was kind of like a, I don't know, it wasn't exactly a joke, but it was a challenge. It was like a mischief that he bought it for me, which was like 30 books of how to teach yourself ventriloquism and a puppet came with it. So, I mean, when someone goes to those lengths, you can't not try. So I filmed myself trying, and then I had fun when I was doing it. And then always I was surprised watching it back that it looked like I hadn't been alone. If I made a video, you know, it very much felt like I was by myself when I was making the video. And then I'd look back and go, God, that's so weird. There's someone with you. It looks like there's someone alive with me in the room. And so I got quite excited by that and kept going.
You actually have some of your puppets in your shows. They're making fun of you a lot. Is this a way to channel the inner critic we all have and struggle with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know if it's dangerous how much I champion that voice of self-doubt. but it certainly, yeah, keeps some humility when you've got something that can cut you down to size at any minute. And it's funny to look at it. I mean, I've been talking to that monkey now almost 20 years, and I look at it, and I feel like it knows, you know, you fall through your own illusion after a time. It seems to look straight through me. Oh, God, you know everything. This just a piece of fluff.
How did Monkey come into your life?
Also accidental. Belonged to an actor I was sharing a flat with, and it was a first night gift for him. And I found it kind of funny. Picked it up and, yeah, I just started doing dumb stuff. I started making him hump things. I don't know if that's an American word.
Yes.
Anyway, just kind of did that. I thought, this is a funny monkey. And then it was later when I learned ventriloquism, I thought, oh my goodness, that monkey could talk. So it came together that way.
He's really rude. He says very crass things. Is that a way to sort of bring out your id, your desire to say totally inappropriate things?
Yeah, that's very nice to live without the censor for a moment. But it's not necessarily what I always think or want to stand by, you know, the things he says. It's not like I think he's always right or anything, but he just says the taboo thing. That's similar to the voice of the inner critic, I guess, isn't it? The voice of, wouldn't be awful if I said this. I think I've always enjoyed swearing, actually. So that kind of rude, I've always enjoyed. It's quite unevolved of me, but it still makes me laugh. That's sort of easy. And I just like the lack of accountability of this creature that isn't real.
So Monkey lets you get away with things.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. I guess so, yeah. Yeah. And also if you're trying to be like a good girl, which I always was, trying to be a good girl, it's quite nice to have something that isn't, but you don't have to own it.
You were acting, kind of traditional acting and making your way that way, and you got this gift from a friend and started learning ventriloquism. What sort of propelled you to take it to a public stage?
Well, I don't know. I had some friends that were comedians. There's a British comedian who said, come down to my local pub. They have like a competition night on a Tuesday. So it was just a dare, really. And it was all mainly guys just doing stand-up. I felt really weird. I felt like I'd brought my teddy. I felt like simple in the head that I was going there to do ventriloquism, but then won that night. So it felt like a signal to carry on.
How long did it take you to learn ventriloquism?
10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not saying I was any good after 10 minutes, but that's all it takes to learn what you need to do. There are only 6 letters that you need to change.
What's the mechanism? You're talking in your throat or what?
No, you're just talking without your lips. But most words like hello, for example, you don't need any lip movement to make that sound. So things beginning with P's and M's and B's, those require substitute letters. I think there's 6 of them. And once you know what those are, you just start. I mean, that's the classic is God of Gear. I hate that one, but you just replace a B with a G. And I think the best advice I got with all that was don't worry about making it sound like a B. Just get on with it. Everyone will know what you're talking about. Don't sweat it. Just keep going. People hear the other letter after a while. If you listen to me really closely, you'd think, well, yeah, that's not a B. But that's really never been the exciting part of the act anyway, probably.
You said when you got started in stand-up, it was mostly men. I mean, comedy, it's changing a little bit, but here in the U.S., mm-hmm. probably in the U.K., it has been a field dominated by men. What has that been like for you? First of all, you're doing stuff that a lot of people are not doing in stand-up, but to be a woman and walking into mm-hmm. the world.
I know. Well, I mean, I guess that's why I got some kind of male persona in my act, but that was all quite unconscious. And certainly when I was starting, I didn't find it. I didn't find myself at a disadvantage because I wasn't that many women. I found it like easier to get on a bill. I mean, that doesn't mean the world was correct to be that way, but there's something about entering into the conversation of women in comedy that makes me feel we just haven't gotten there yet. We're still talking about it. Every time there's an article that comes up, are women funny?
It's just, yeah.
Oh, God, it's just so sort of depressing. I mean, there have been so many columns the same, and I can't bear to read them, you know? It just doesn't feel like progress to even have the question. Mm-hmm. Of course they're funny. I mean, yeah, they were funny before this conversation came along.
This is Women's Focus on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick. I'm talking with Nina Conti. She'll be in Albuquerque this week for the Tricklock Revolutions International Theater Festival. Find out more about dates and times and tickets at KUNM.org or at Tricklock.com. One of the shows you're doing for Tricklock, you're doing 2 shows. One actually involves you being a life-size monkey interacting with Shanoa Allen, who's one of our homegrown artists from Albuquerque. He's one of the pajama men. So can you tell me more about what this is about?
We met during a very long improvisation that was called the Improvathon, 50 hours long, and his character that he was playing in it, called Roy, I just had to get on stage with him. I just loved him. And I was wearing this big monkey. We ended up doing a scene together, and it was a fun chemistry. So after that, after, I don't know, 60 hours of being sleep deprived, we kind of agreed we should meet and see if we could find something to do. And so that act was born, and it's been really fun. For me, my God, to have a real human being and not just a latex one is just a whole new world.
So you're actually your life-size monkey. He is Roy. I guess we don't want to have many spoilers, but what is it? What are you guys doing?
it's unscripted, and we just find our adventures kind of according to who's in the room and what's happening.
Does that mean you're relying on audience members or sort of the chemistry from the audience? Or
we ask some questions and we play with them and we... We do whatever occurs to us, really. And we've ended up building things out of people on stage. I don't know. It's really fun for me to be full monkey because then I don't have to worry about this Nina person that I have to be all the time who sits there agonizing and apologizing. I leave that now to Shanoa. He has to do the apologizing. I shouldn't have to worry about that monkey.
tell me more about how you got into improvisation, because that kind of sounds terrifying, but that's a lot of what you do now.
I've never had to stand there just by myself with nothing but my brain and come up with funny ideas. That isn't really what improv has ever had to be for me, because I've always got the context. Either it's a dialogue between me and a puppet and an audience, so you've sort of got stuff already. But I think when improvisation sounds scary, it's because people are thinking you just have to come up with ideas out of thin air. But once you've got the context of an audience and some characters, there's just always stuff to go. I mean, just try to avoid having an idea when you're dressed as a monkey. it's impossible. There's too much playfulness available. But improvisation, I don't know, the word's a bit yucky, isn't it? It's a bit sort of 80s or something, and it kind of sounds like we're going to have to make a song out of three kitchen utensils and a place location. I just prefer to think of it as unscripted. Mm-hmm. And it's not something I've ever trained in. It's just something that naturally happens when you don't get in the way of yourself.
You're also doing one of your, well, I say a one-woman show, but you'll have a lot of puppets and audience members, but it relies on volunteers to come up. You actually sort of turn them into live ventriloquist puppets. I mean, one of the videos.
Yeah. I just put a little mouth on them, which like a half mask that sits on the jaw. So, and that blends with the top half of their face and makes like a new character every time you do it. And that's what that show is. It's me doing that and creating little vignettes with different people from the audience and whoever they turn out to be, and kind of working off their body language, and it goes where it goes. But that's really fun for me.
Yeah, how did you come up with that idea?
It's been around. It's a ventriloquist prop for a while. So the idea to improvise with it just came out of it kind of came by accident. I used to have a stooge in one of my early shows, and I'd pretend I'd gotten out of the audience, and one day he couldn't make it, and I got a real person, thought, oh my God, it's so much more fun with a real person. It's so unexpected. It's better than anything I could have planned. And then after that, looking back, I had to sack the stooge and start playing with real audience members. And families, and then you've got their relationship, the relationship between them that they naturally bring stuff, and it's a lot more organic.
Have you ever had people, I saw a video, you brought this guy up and had him saying how much he wanted to dance. He clearly did not.
Right.
Eventually he did, though.
Yeah.
That was very fun. How do you choose people?
Well, people don't want to seem like they're too up for it. But there's something about when you put these masks on people, then they don't have to be so shy as themselves anyway. They don't want to look like a show-off, but it's not them. They can start to do a bit of a dance, and it's kind of easier than it would ever normally be for them. And often they kind of end up joining into the character that I've turned them into, just to be obliging, really. So, no, it's not really a battle or anything. It usually happens quite easily. So it's a symbiotic thing.
Has someone ever tried to upstage you or?
Yeah, that does happen. It definitely happens. But what if somebody's really desperate to upstage me or to seem really eccentric or something? The audience tends to go a bit quiet. No one likes a show off. And so it never lasts that long. It burns a bit fast and bright, that kind of thing. So it's not too much of a worry that you're going to get an eccentric, because the audience will slap them down pretty quickly.
You did one with James Corden where he made him into a Russian. How many different voices do you have in you?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I try to do them all, but they start sounding the same. I don't know. I haven't counted. But that was off the top of my head, and that was unexpected. He just came over going, can I have a go? I thought, all right. What am I going to do with you?
You sort of never know what's going to happen with the audience. That it's funny to watch you do this, because the chemistry is you're discovering along with them. You know, it's very authentic. You really don't know what's going to happen, and you're reacting to, even though
you're
doing the voice.
Them. I know. Well, I love them as well. I mean, without wanting to sound too sort of silly about it, I'm very grateful for their
collaboration. And I feel very warmly towards whoever I've got up there. And I also feel like I have to look after them and don't want them to have a bad time. So it just feels important to go off whatever cues they're giving me and try to keep them happy. And if it does seem like, oh, no, this person's tired and they don't like it, well, you get them off straight away. I don't want to, I wouldn't want anyone to go on longer than they wanted.
And it's fascinating because it's almost like with this person up there and you, and I guess you do it with Monkey and other puppets, like all of a sudden there's this like third entity in the room.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit otherworldly. It's funny to see people ducking out the eyeline of the monkey's eyes that don't see. Oh, no, he's looking at me. That's funny.
Well, Nina Conti, it's been very pleasurable to talk to you. I can't wait to see your shows.
Thank you.
That was actress and ventriloquist Nina Conti. She's doing two shows in Albuquerque this week for the Tricklock Revolutions International Theater Festival on March 21st and 23rd. Find out more about times and tickets and see some videos of Nina and Monkey at KUNM.org.